The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Thursday, Gary, how are you?
Not bad. And you and I did some calculating here in our pre-show meeting and figured out that under Jeff Bezos' divorce settlement, his ex-wife should be able to finance 1,000 walls.
Yes. We have determined here at the Red Eye Radio math headquarters. Let's go to the math desk now. And we believe, calculating based on what the reported wealth of Jeff Bezos is and what his wife of 25 years will likely get in a divorce, she will be able to buy the wall and also still get your deliveries within 2 days.
In fact, she'll be able to deliver the wall in 2 days for free.
You know, what's interesting is the talk of how the divorce will be structured, because she could end up, it's quite possible, with the being the biggest shareholder of Amazon. Right now, Jeff Bezos is at 16% of the shares, I believe.
Yep.
And this happened with Steve Wynn when he divorced his wife back in 2010. She ended up getting the majority, more shares than he did, so she had a bigger seat at the table. So the real estate guy who owned the Dodgers, I'm blanking on his name, but his divorce basically forced the family to sell the Dodgers. So that could be a big, big deal. Remember when Amy Irving and Steven Spielberg got divorced after like 2 years? And at the time, it was the biggest settlement, and it was like $100 million. $100 million. You live in a totally different neighborhood than Jeff Bezos.
Now, what would it be? I mean, if they split it, isn't that $70-80 billion?
So the wealth calculation is fluctuating. It's likely because the shares go up and down.
Right.
Although Amazon, you know, is still, their investors are still saying you should still buy Amazon. It's still growing. But it's anywhere between, I saw estimates today, anywhere between 135 to 150 billion. It was reported last year that it was 160 billion.
Yeah, because they were worth a trillion. And if you had 16%, they were the first trillion-dollar company, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, it would make sense that then she would get 80 billion. She would get roughly half of that wealth. Depending, there could be a prenup in place, but keep in mind that was 25 years ago when they got married. You know, he did not have the wealth he has today. But who knows? Maybe they did it just to do it. Maybe it was trendy to do prenups. So no one knows about the details of it. Just the rumors surrounding it. You saw the National Enquirer story that's been circulating that he was having an affair with the wife of a Hollywood agent. And so, and he said in his, Bezos said in his tweet that they'd been separated for some time. Good luck to both of them. Just make sure my package is there in 2 days. Or less.
Well, here we go. Coming up here, Trump apparently walked out of the meeting, but not angry. Vice President Pence out and saying no. He didn't storm out. He walked out. Yeah, he's the one that left, but he came into the meeting handing out candy to people. So we'll get to that. New York Times story makes the point that we've been making, I don't know, for a long time. New polling on border security. That's really interesting. New report out, Kamala Harris to announce the run for president this month. Iraqi leaders urge the United States to keep a troop presence in their country.
Well, we know what has happened. I mean, the fall of Mosul, when it happened, it lasted. ISIS had control for 33 months. You were the one that pointed out when Iraq gained. Remember that weekend? Something else was going on in the news. And Iraq gained control of Mosul over a weekend, and there was big news somewhere else, and that was a kind of on the back burner, but it was a huge story, and you pointed that out, and we talked about it. when they regained control over Mosul. But they know full well what can happen.
Well, I mean, this is the thing where you will have, and it primarily comes from the left, not that it is, you know, not that libertarians don't bring it up at times, that, you know, the United States, by being around the world, gives an imperialist, imagery. When it comes down to it, even in a time where the media portrays the United States as this complete mess, that Trump's in charge, it's just nuts, it's just infighting all the time. When it comes down to it, the United States is still trusted as fair, as being the leader in promoting democracy worldwide. You and I both said when we weren't working together, but it was when we went into Iraq, and we were doing different shows, but you know, you and I've had the discussion on it, and we both said the same thing, that if you're going to go in, you better be willing to go in for decades. Mm-hmm. You cannot go into countries and then win and then leave, because all you're doing is creating a vacuum. Mm-hmm. It's what we did in Iraq. It created a vacuum. We had to get back in again. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, there was pressure from a part of the country in Iraq, for the United States to leave. But as we know, because you and I covered it in specific detail, the United States under President Obama really wasn't pushing to stay at all.
Mm. No. No,
they really weren't pushing. They really weren't negotiating. And the Iraqi government had no trust in the Obama administration to commit. So it got down to the point where they were, well, we really can't trust his government. So we're better to be on the side of the public that says, get out, and we want to do this on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are they in Iraq? And as you and I have said before, if you're going to be in, if you're going to change a country that has been under totalitarian government for decades, as Iraq was, you need to stay in more than one generation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have generation of people that have lived under freedom and they become accustomed to it. They know nothing else but that.
Not that they're going to be the U.S. when they're on the other side of it. It's just that they have the freedom to make those choices.
Well, I don't care if they're the U.S. They become close enough to the U.S. once they start practicing capitalism.
And this is what we have seen with, well, up until recently, the new attitude by the Saudis. We'll see where that goes
from here.
But the idea is that you have an entire region that could change, shift drastically. And after that shift, that would be lasting, because you wouldn't. Well, what did we see in Iran with a young person from Iran who's come here and made a great life. She's now a citizen, right?
Yeah, she became a citizen, I think, about 3 years ago. I haven't seen her in a long, long time.
But, you know, the point is that the young people were discovering, the next generation was discovering, not that we had a presence in Iran, but through the Internet, through communications, they were discovering different cultures, I guess. And they wanted more freedom in their life.
Well, when by the time she became a U.S. Well, by the time she came to America, I mean, within, and I probably met her after she had been here, about a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
She was completely Americanized.
Yeah.
But as she told me, she said, because I asked her, I said, well, you know, I said, look, talk to me. Do you hate? Is there a part of you that even though you came over here, because she was able to come over because she had family that was over here, mm-hmm. but there was a certain window she had to make that decision. She made it at like 18 as soon as she came over. And she said, no, I love the United States. And I said, well, then what's the problem in your country? And I'm quoting her. She said, it's our stupid religion and our stupid government.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how do you know this? She said, we have the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I said, can't they block it? She goes, no. Mm-hmm. You know, they may think they're blocking it, but they can't block it all over the country. She said, there's too many people and too many avenues for you to find out, you know, information now, mm-hmm. which was, again, I think it's an eye opener when you realize that. But when you look at Iraq and when you look at any country, once they start practicing capitalism, which means voluntarily you engage in contracts with others for your mutual benefit, mm-hmm. for your own self-interest, mm-hmm. and you have to cooperate with each other. Mm-hmm. That's why we have talked about the fact that one of the biggest things that will come out of the United States becoming the world leader in oil and natural gas is it will force other countries in the Middle East that didn't have to modernize. They didn't have to practice capitalism, which means when you practice capitalism, you have to cooperate with other people worldwide, mm-hmm. which means you have to be open and accept other people's customs and other people's ways. You have to become more open to all other societies, as we are here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so that's the biggest thing that I think will come out of it is these countries. And you see that push, for example, in Saudi Arabia. But I also think you see it quietly in a lot of other countries, yeah. you know, once they start doing it. And so if, you know, are people going to think exactly the same? No, they're not going to. But they end up, you don't want, again, there is no expectation for people to think the same. But you want them to be involved in the culture of what? The culture of voluntarily cooperating with other people and accepting people. Why? Because it's better for your self-interest. Yeah. And that's what capitalism does. So, but interesting in Iraq, where the leadership insisting that the United States, they're you know, when they saw the Syria thing, they're very concerned about it. They want the Iraqi leadership wants the United States to stay in there because the United States supplies what? What is the symbol now of the United States military in Iraq? Security and freedom.
Well, and again, I think that 33 months was a huge lesson for even some of the people, some of the citizens of Iraq, when they saw the fall of Mosul, they saw what their enemy, ISIS, could do.
Well, over a period, what is it, 15 years now? Mm-hmm. Over a period of 15 years, you learn what people are about.
Mm-hmm.
And in 15 years, you're talking about a new generation coming in. You're talking about anybody who was 17, 18 years old is now in their mid-30s.
Yeah, it'll be, what, 14 years here in a couple of months. March of 2003.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
No,
16 years.
Right, yeah. Right. 15 going on 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a generation. I mean, that's complete. I mean, when you talk about the young adults that are you know, were teenagers back then, now in their late 20s and mm-hmm. well into their 30s. Mm-hmm. And if you were 20 at that point, you know, you're in your, you know, 20, 21, 22, you're in your late 30s and you're in business. You've experienced it. You've experienced the security of the United States being there. You've seen what it was. And you sort of figured out as an adult who to hate and who not to hate. And you figured out the United States is not the United States military and the presence there is not the people to hate. It's ISIS. It is the radicals. And you learn. We've often said this, that over the last, you think about that, over the last 80 years, 80 to 100 years, mm-hmm. the best representative of what the United States has been about has been the occupying forces of the United States military in Europe, in Asia. And now you're seeing it in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. You may have that opinion. Look, we shouldn't be the world's policemen, and that's a different discussion to have. But you cannot look at the history over the last 80 years and not look at it and say the occupying forces of the United States military worldwide has been one of the biggest stabilizing institutions in the history of the world, mm-hmm. for bringing peace and helping develop societies into democratic republics.
Yeah. Think about a 10-year-old child in 2003 who now might be or might have already started a family. So they were old enough at that point in 2003 to know about Saddam Hussein and know what kind of rule they were under. and now they're having their own family, which changes your interests drastically. And they have, for the most part, peace in their country. They certainly, without a doubt, have more choices.
So we'll have that story coming up. Some Starbucks installing needle deposit boxes. Okay. We'll tell you about the one airline encouraging you to tip flight attendants. And traditional, you knew this was coming, traditional masculinity deemed as harmful from a medical group out there.
So okay.
Of course, that's the case. Plus your calls and comments. We got a great show ahead. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So, coming up on the bottom of the hour, I mean, we'll hit on it right now, but talk about it a little bit more in detail. The New York Times article stating what we have stated all along. There it is. This is New York Times. Democrats focus on shutdown's cost and steer away from Trump's wall. When Speaker Nancy Pelosi of California stepped to a microphone last week and pronounced President Trump's border wall an immorality, most Democrats cheered and nodded their heads. But a few privately grimaced, worried that such stark terminology could make it more difficult for Democrats and Republicans to find their way out of an impasse over border security. Democrats, said one Democratic lawmaker from a Republican-leaning district who insisted on anonymity to offer a candid assessment, cannot be seen by the public as calling border security immoral. The divide illustrates while Democrats are working to focus public attention on the painful cost of the partial government shutdown, then delving into specific details of erecting a barrier on the southwestern border. It's exactly what we said. It is why, when they met before Christmas, and Schumer and Pelosi did not want to talk about anything to do with border security, that Trump should have pressed them on it and not said, we're all for border security. Because they're not.
You gave them cover. You didn't just give them an out. You gave them cover.
Because they
were running for cover saying, we don't want to talk about this in front of cameras.
Yep. And there's a reason. They know they can't win it. And how do we know? Latest polling that is out. Latest polling shows close to 80% of Americans polled believe it's either a crisis or a problem. The plurality of Americans believe it is a crisis. I think that was roughly 40. Well, we'll get it here. The 42%. And I think you had close to was it 37%.
I think it's at least a problem.
Believe it's a problem. So 42 believe it's a crisis. Very few look at it the way that that Ocasio-Cortez or O'Rourke does.
For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
For the weekend, there has been talk of some snow for the mid-Atlantic. Not accumulating much, but could be the first significant snowfall of the new year. However, due to the government shutdown, some of the weather forecasting from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has been scaled back. So relying on a forecast 5-7 days out at this point does have some limitations. For today, we will continue to see snow showers for areas of the Great Lakes and eastward from Cleveland, Ohio, into Ashtabula, up into Buffalo, and then on into Maine. There's a developing storm system near Texas, which will provide some heavy showers for central and northern Texas throughout the day on Friday. And then just north of that rain, where the cold air meets the warmer air, we could pick up icing for portions of northern Oklahoma, Nebraska, and portions of eastern Colorado. Again, that through the day on Friday. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90 Red Eye.
They've well-deservedly been called every name in the book, and even some that aren't. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary, 866-90-RED-EYE. So here it is from morningconsult.com. A plurality of voters think there's a crisis at the border. 72% of Republicans said that there's a crisis of illegal immigration. More than three times the share of Democrats who agreed. 44% of voters support building a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, while 47% oppose the idea. 37% of voters said the country was headed in the right direction. According to the poll, registered voters, 42% believe there is an illegal immigration crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. 37% of voters say there's a problem but not a crisis at the border. And 12% said there's neither a problem nor a crisis. So when you look at that, you have 79% of people believe there's either a problem or a crisis at the border. You look at the New York Times article, which states that the Democrats know they have to stay away from talking about border security and only talk about the shutdown because they can't believe, or they don't believe, that their rhetoric can win that argument against the president, as we brought you in that New York Times article that says Democrats focus on shutdown's cost and steer away from Trump's wall. Democrats said one Democratic lawmaker from a Republican-leaning district who insisted on anonymity to offer a candid assessment cannot be seen by the public as calling border security immoral. As we said, that is something the Republicans should have jumped on immediately and pressed her to answer that question specifically. Why is a wall, you know, immoral? The other point is the Democrats do recognize their hypocrisy. ABC News fact check found that out yesterday when they brought up the fact that, yeah, Schumer wanted a wall.
Yep.
He might have called it a fence. Might have called it fencing, might have called it metal, whatever. But Schumer wanted a barrier. The Democrats wanted a barrier. Hillary Clinton wanted a barrier. Obama wanted a barrier. They all did until Trump said he wanted a barrier and called it a wall. Not bragging, it's just the reality to give some perspective. I've done this for almost 30 years. You've done this over 20 years. We know, we've done this long enough to understand the response of the left, who are always looking for any type of sliver of anything that we say in order to get in and say, oh, gotcha there. In the time that we've talked about legal immigration, in the time since the president has been talking about illegal immigration, people will call. We had the nice lady who called last week. We're not going to give Trump his monument. That's not a, you know, that seems to be something that you're pretty bitter at this president and you view it as a monument, which we found interesting. But that's not a discussion on border security and making the border safer. And we know the Democrats don't, and the folks on the left don't want to get close to talking anything about border security. And I have to say right now, you have a significant portion of Democrats that listen to Robert Francis O'Rourke or Ocasio-Cortez and say, you got to stop. We're not going to win the battle. We're not going to win this battle on open borders. We have accused the Democrats and the leadership of kowtowing to the open borders portion of the Democrat Party, that the Democrat Party is now the party of open borders. That's what they want. Have you received any response from any? We get hit all the time when
not
they
one.
Believe. Not one. Nothing. Zero. They know they can't argue it. If you wonder what part of our frustration is with Republicans and with the president over the last 2 years, it's when you have a slam dunk argument and you blow it.
Well, and there's no, there's really no actual argument to it because there's no way to debate it.
No.
Given the sanctuary state, sanctuary city policy, now let's add free health care. You talk about a slap in the face. Think about, forget where you stand, which side you stand on with Obamacare or single payer. What was Obamacare? It really was, the left saw that as the stepping stone to single payer. And maybe one day when we look back, I don't know, 100 years from now, they'll look at it and go, oh, yeah, that was the stepping stone. I'm confident one day we'll get to single payer. But we're not there yet. Unless you're an illegal. If you're here illegally, we want you to have free health care. Yeah, some people, they're calling it comprehensive health care for all in New York City. No, it's not. It's not for all. For those who work two jobs and make enough money, you're not going to get it. City's not paying for you. And that's a slap in the face to I don't know how many Americans. And they may vote blue. But think about where Obama was on Obamacare. Think about where the nation was. Then all of a sudden, you have state leaders in California talking about it, and you have the city of New York announcing it.
We have always felt, and we have said, the president focusing on Mexico paying for it, we believe, was a totally complete calculated error.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the wrong way to go. Because your opposition you need to be concerned with is not what Mexico thinks. It's what your opposition party thinks. It's their stand. And their stand is open borders. Their stand is sanctuary cities. Their stand is if you get across the border, you get to stay. When we say that, do we get any Democrat who calls and says, no, that's not what they want?
No.
No, nobody. They all know that's what they want. And the Republicans still, and the administration still doesn't consistently and in a coherent way pound that message in major marketing day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, ever.
Right.
And we ask the question, why?
Well, we've seen the polling. We've got new polling to back it up. The American people on border security stand with Trump. Many of them won't admit it. They'll never say it. But on the issue itself. Now, if you can't put it aside for one person, because he's not going to be president forever. But if you can't put it aside, it's the issue. It's either wall or no wall. It's either border security or no border security, because there is no half measure. If we don't get this done now, if we don't make a decision as a nation right here and right now, we're not going to revisit it short of some kind of massive invasion. And I mean a very big military or enemy action against us. Because if there's no political will by the people to push their elected representatives to say, you know what, we need to solve this and move on. Not just open the government and talk about it like we've been doing forever.
Well, especially when the debate is not there's just small disagreements that you can come together with and both parties should be willing to bend. Well, that's not the case. The one party wants open borders.
Right.
And you can't say they don't because they're all for sanctuary cities. California, all the citizens of California listening right now, you're a sanctuary state. You know the cities that have objected to it, the people that have objected to it. There's a ton of people in California that disagree with it.
Right.
But you live in a state that now promotes the fact that we want open borders. Because if you say, if your opinion is, once you get across, you get to stay, and we won't cooperate with the federal government, even if you're a criminal, we won't cooperate with the federal government, you tell me what you call that. Tell me what you call that.
And now add in free health care.
Yeah.
I mean, what's next? Why not free housing?
And that's been the biggest mistake of the administration over the last 2 years, and the biggest mistake of Republicans over the last 15 years of this issue, is not calling the Democrats what they are, and that is open border activists. That's what they are.
Yep.
That's what they want. That's what the party wants. May not be what the majority of people who even vote Democrat want, but it's what the party wants.
Yep.
And as we've said, the slam dunk argument that they can't debate is sanctuary cities.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're for tough border security, except if they step across, then they get to stay forever.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're for open borders.
No other way to put it. There is no half measure.
And that's why they can't win the argument, and that's why if you see that we get frustrated at Republicans, at the president, at the administration, it's that simple reason. It's a slam dunk argument.
Mm-hmm. And today should have been about, show me your plan for border security.
Yep.
You both know what I want. Show me your plan.
When the vice president was sent out to talk about, well, the president was giving away candy, he didn't storm out.
Mm-hmm.
No, you should be talking about the substance of the issues.
Yep.
Don't let the Democrats control the narrative. And they did again yesterday.
If you want a meeting, let's have a meeting, but let's make it productive. And it starts, the world knows what I want.
Right.
Show me what you want. And show up with a plan, or don't show up at all.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So, yeah, it did appear on social media yesterday. I just showed you one of the pictures of the of Schumer and Pelosi, and, you know, they live. And so if you know the movie and you know what happens when you wear the glasses, that's what they both look like. And so I was right. I mean, the imagery for the movie They Live was actually there, and just the way that it was set up.
Yeah, everybody did the side-by-side with American Gothic. No. No. It's They Live. I think we've made that case, right?
yeah, and it was all over social media yesterday, and even the liberal media making fun of the way that they look, saying, you know, who chose to do this kind of set?
Yeah, right.
You know, for them, side by side. There was another one that a GoFundMe account, a fake GoFundMe account that was set up for another podium for the Democrats.
Mm. Doctor in Washington, D.C. has confirmed that he has surgically joined Nancy and Chuck at the hip. They don't make a move without each other.
Wow. Yeah, it was bad imagery. And as we said, for that one night, the president won.
Mm-hmm.
But it's winning every day, and winning consistently, and having that consistent message. And this administration has shown over the long haul they aren't capable of doing that. And that has always been my fear. I compliment the president for what he did. The thoughts and the imagery of what they did for a couple of days, but it's whether you can do it consistently over a long period of time of marketing something correctly. We had a response email yesterday. Somebody sent us and said, yeah, you guys are wrong. I disagree with you. We know exactly where Trump stands. We never said that we didn't know where Trump stood. I think we all know where Trump stands on border security. Mm-hmm. It's the marketing of it to the American people and selling it to the American people over a period of time.
It's why he has that position. It's not that right. He has the position. Everybody knows that. It's the why. That's the selling point. And when you go to, and we'll see what happens in McAllen, Texas, later today, but when you go to the border, and I grew up down there, when you learn what's happened since, I mean, I haven't lived there since it got much worse. You and I were talking off the air yesterday about, over the years, some attacks on lakes, even on the American side of certain lakes that straddle the border.
Mm-hmm.
There have been attacks by Mexican pirates. There have been murders and everything else. When you look at how dangerous it is on just the Texas border alone, it's staggering. And let's hope the president can make that very clear in McAllen on Thursday.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Ah, yes, here we go. Sorry. I had my microphone on, then I turned it off.
You just decided to take a break. I'm just going to take a two-second break.
You and I were just listening to some audio from Cavuto. Mm. Well, let me play it here, okay? It may cut it in between when I want to play this here. Okay?
All right. Yeah.
We were just talking about right before he came on. This is Neil Cavuto yesterday with Congressman Michael Burgess of Texas.
Here okay. Go. Congressman Michael Burgess with us right now. Congressman, this looks like it's going to drag on a while.
I don't think so. I mean, I realize that neither side appears ready to move. And I thought the president last night put forward a reasoned proposal to the country. And I think it was important that he spoke to the country. The Democratic response, I thought, was a little bit stilted. And of course, the discussions have continued today. My understanding is the president is traveling to Texas tomorrow, down to McAllen, Texas. I welcome that. I've been down there plenty of times. And I know I always learn something when I go down there. So I do think the president's visit to Texas is important to learn what's going on the border. And at the end of the day, Neil, I think what is going to happen is the president is going to have to exercise his executive authority to move money from the Department of Defense to the border and build the wall in the area that he feels is most important. And I know there are people on my side who don't like that approach, but at the same time, we just simply can't go on with this impasse. But you saw from what happened to the White House today, the Democrats are so ideologically dug in, they so dislike this president, that they are not going to give him anything he wants.
But do you think it's fair when a lot of your colleagues, sir, are saying, all right, however strong you feel about something, you, Mr. President, are the one holding the government hostage to your passionate desire for a wall and security. So however meritorious that might be, it did start with the president saying, I'm going to make that the sword I stand on here.
Well, bear in mind, the president is not responsible really for any of this right now. If he vetoes a bill that does get through the Senate and goes to his desk, then yes, the president does have part ownership in the shutdown. But right now, the House sent a bill right before Christmas over to the Senate that had the appropriations language. It had some disaster relief.
But the Senate wasn't going to take that up precisely because
Senate
Mitch McConnell felt that the president would just reject it.
The president would have signed that bill had the Senate Majority Leader decided that it was important enough to pass it with 51 votes, which you know he can do because he's done it with judge after judge, cabinet secretary after cabinet secretary.
Well, Mitch McConnell shelved it because he was convinced the president wouldn't. You think he would have?
Oh, absolutely. I think he signaled Look, I'm on the Rules Committee, Rules Committee the night before. Certainly the implication was he wasn't going to sign what the Senate had sent over.
But you were a congressman that in the process, and I know you feel passionately about that, certainly being from Texas. The one thing that amazes me, though, is that as this drags on, it stands a potential that who's to stop a Democratic president from making a same argument for a separate issue and holding the government hostage to that?
Well, as we saw during the Obama years, that did in fact happen, and it happened during the Clinton years. So there's nothing that would stop that. It could still happen.
Well, maybe this is a signal we should stop that nonsense, and both parties should grow up.
That's, I just want to get there. He said both parties should grow up. Look, we live in a Democratic republic where people disagree.
And what does that mean, grow up?
I saw, and I think it was CNSNews.com, and I bring that up because they're a right-wing, website, and they brought up the fact that under the Republican Congress, the debt increased $7.9 trillion over 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Almost $1 trillion if you look at over a year under Republican leadership. Well, why did that happen? Because all the grown-ups cooperated and nobody wanted to shut down the government.
Right. That's being grown up.
That's being grown up. Grown up is cooperating to do things that are, to do things that are wrong. Now, Burgess, I have no idea where he was going with the fact that the president would sign. I really didn't know what he was talking about. They really confused me. I didn't know what bill he was talking about. The president would have signed, and then he was talking about Mitch McConnell should have just gone with 51 votes. You're going to go with 51 votes now for Republicans when it comes for appropriations now and budgets. Well, then the Democrats do the exact same thing when they get in. But when it really comes to the debt anyway, Republicans and Democrats don't care anyway. So really doesn't matter anymore if you take away the 60 vote margin to begin with. But I wasn't sure that they were even agreeing on what bill they were talking about, whether it was the original bill or the bill from last week.
Yeah, because they talked about not signing it. I mean, had the nuclear option been put into place and played, and the Senate passed the second version with the $5.7 billion in it, the president certainly would have signed that. So I think they got confused as to which version.
Yeah, so but here's the point. They get into that long discussion. It's on Fox News, for the most part, which supports the president's policies, right? For the most part. I mean, not all the time, but for the most part, and they never get down to the issue at hand. And
right.
The issue at hand is that Democrats are for open borders.
Yep.
And we still can't get to that point. They're arguing the minutiae of everything, and they don't get to the big point, which is, and the administration doesn't constantly get to the big point, that those that work for the president don't get to the point, the president doesn't get to the point, the Republican leadership doesn't get to the point, no Republicans get to the point, and the point is they want open borders. You know, we've had some people call contact us and say the Democrats talking about the drones and all that and the so-called virtual border. And I started thinking, yeah, so what the Democrats are saying, that we should have drones that spot them, and then we what? Send an army of Border Patrol agents to go chase them down? Is that more moral, Nancy Pelosi, than just having a wall or a fence? But the fact is, drones means, okay, you may watch them come into the country, but you're not going to stop them. I mean, what is the entire point of border security, to begin with? So every single thing you can tear down what the Democrats are talking about, because the Democrats are talking about not having what the Democrats want is border security that isn't border security.
They want something. They would love to put like a stop sign at the border and call that
Border security. Yes.
Paint a line.
A stop sign with the camera.
Yeah, of course.
But no police.
Right.
That would be their border security.
Or a line, that big solid line you're not supposed to cross when you, come up to a stoplight. Just have a big solid line. So that's border security. The fact of the matter is, they haven't been forced to say it. They have not been called out.
You know, with Neil Cavuto, and I like a lot of what Neil Cavuto says, but seriously, when you get in the New York Washington Beltway, mm-hmm. does everybody start thinking the same, whether you're Republican or Democrat?
Well, the whole thing is that I don't know with them if they're just tired of talking about it or they've just given up the fight altogether. I mean, I like Neil Cavuto, but what does being grown-ups mean? You mean the way that, as a senator, John McCain behaved? Is that being a grown-up? Let's work together. America wants us to work. No, they don't. Nope. I elected people in my district. I elected people in my state to go to work for me.
It's almost as if Neil Cavuto is saying, I don't like messy.
That's the John Boehner approach. Right. It really is.
We don't like messy. Just pass right. anything. Just agree with them and pass anything. Money doesn't matter. Borrow from future generations. Look, we ignore immorality all the time.
Right.
I told you about the story that came out yesterday about the Republicans and how much debt they have put on future generations. I mean, one of the biggest immoralities that you can have as a society is to say we're going to have taxation without representation
right.
and finding the ultimate loophole.
Yeah.
And that is they're not born yet.
Right.
We all know it's completely and totally immoral and we just ignore it.
And so it's getting harder with each generation that is living already. Think about it. You know, we have a lot of complaints for the attitudes of the millennials and the generation behind them. But man, have we totally put the screws to them when it comes to debt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're immoral in some way?
Yeah.
Have we looked at our generation?
Right.
Ah, just spend the money. Now, I will say this, that the millennials say spend the money, too.
Oh, no. They don't recognize it because they're not at the point yet of being that age where they start looking at things going, wait a minute, where's all my money going? Well, what am I actually paying for?
My point is we ignore immorality all the time. Mm-hmm. And call it moral. No, it's moral that we pass this. Yeah, but you're forgetting that you're not paying for it and someone else. You're going to take out somebody else's property without their permission. You're borrowing the money. You're borrowing money and you are, in essence, taxing people without representation because they're not born yet. What an ultimate loophole that is. Wow, now we're a sophisticated moral society and we're grown up for doing that. We, as a society, on a consistent basis, will claim the moral high ground and just ignore the incredible immorality of our actions.
Right.
And the Democrats are doing, I mean, the Republicans over the last 8 years did that on the budget and the spending. We don't like messy. Let's just get this through. We don't want to argue it. So we'll put it on. Nobody will take a stand. And the Democrats, The rank and file, if you're a Democrat voter right now, you're not taking a stand against your party for what you know is wrong. You know what they're doing is wrong. You know the concept of open borders is wrong. And you're not saying anything about it. Many Democrats, the ones quoted in the New York Times, they know that it's wrong for Nancy Pelosi to be talking about the fact that border security is immoral. They know it. That's why they don't want to touch it. They know that their promotion of their morality is actually immoral, and they continue with it. Why? The only thing I can see is their hatred. We'll call it Trump's spite again.
Mm-hmm.
We started calling it the federal judges who ruled against the travel ban. Well, we're rolling based on the legal concept of spite.
Yeah.
Right. We spite him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. So it's absolutely crystal clear. It's an argument you can win 100%. I know I've been getting frustrated over the last couple of days, but I think justifiably so.
Well, I don't know any greater frustration right now on both sides with a very simple, anything but complex idea. And the fact that the positions are very clear, except for the fact that it's not pointed out by the right. The president and Republicans need to repeat this and don't stop talking about it until Election Day 2020 or until you get the wall. Don't.
Yeah, the fight doesn't stop after the after this is resolved. And I do think now, I do think we're at the point almost where the president is going to, in, before the end of January, just say, okay, I'll sign it, and here we go with the executive order, and it will go to the courts, and whatever happened will happen. And I don't know how the courts will look at it. I just know the precedent that exists and the hill that the president has. And, you know, one of the first things that came to my mind is, if he says this is an emergency and a crisis, well, Democrats are all in agreement that climate change is a crisis. Under the Obama administration,
yep.
The Pentagon, remember, the Pentagon came out and said the biggest thing that we face in our national defense is climate change.
Right.
So fine, the next Democratic president can come in and just say, sorry, the military has stated that climate change is one of the biggest crises we have under the Obama administration. The Pentagon put out this report. Here's a report from the government. Climate change is this. Therefore, we're just going to shut down energy companies that we choose to shut down.
Right. Yep.
And that's the problem that you get in this. The problem is that your elected representatives in Congress are not doing their jobs.
No, they're not.
They're not looking out for the best interest of you. That's actually the problem. Look, the president is limited as to what he can do. We said it all along. We said it from the very beginning. That, you know, the whole thing that Mexico's going to pay for it, never going to happen. So stop it. And we believe he marketed it wrong. But the fact is, I agree with the president on it. And the president won't lose my support. He may lose Ann Coulter's support. He may lose a significant support. But I never expected he was going to get it to begin with. What I want is the consistent and coherent fight for that. And he's the closest. He's not performing to what I would like, but he's the closest that I can get to it.
Yes. Yep. And I don't know what the move is. If it goes to the courts, you're not going to win on eminent domain alone. Just based on that one item in this whole equation, you're not going to win.
Well, we had the caller the other day state that, no, look, all the people on the border would clearly have no problem with eminent domain. There's the story out today. Associated Press, along the Texas border, there's a ton of property owners that would have major problems with the eminent domain.
In fact, it's a set of ranchers and landowners down there. They've already hired. You know, the government's already doing surveys down there, land surveys. And these landowners are saying very clearly, nope, we'll take you to court. They've already hired lawyers. So that's going to start, and it will be based, the entire legal battle will be based in eminent domain.
And that's one of the reasons why that even if the country decided to do it, it would still be 10 to 15 years away to begin with.
Right.
And so the fact is, you can't focus that the battle, that the war is done after this shutdown ends.
Right.
Or whatever the court decision would be. It's still imperative on the Republicans, the administration, to keep forward and have a much more consistent marketing plan to market the things that they believe and attack the Democrats for what the Democrats actually stand for, because still they've never done that yet,
right?
To my satisfaction, at least. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on DOT drug and alcohol testing. Truck drivers involved in certain crashes are required to undergo DOT post-accident tests for the presence of alcohol and/or drugs. Testing is required when the accident involves a fatality, injuries requiring immediate treatment away from the scene, as well as a traffic citation for the truck driver, or a towed vehicle when a citation is issued to the truck driver. DOT rules state that as soon as possible following an accident, your employer must test for alcohol and drugs. Drivers must be tested for alcohol within 8 hours and tested for drugs within 32 hours of an accident. Remember, not submitting to a test or not being available for one within the required hours will qualify as a refusal to test, which has the same consequences as a positive test, and your employer must then remove you from the road. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
We'll get your calls and comments coming up following the bottom of the hour, plus traditional masculinity deemed harmful could lead to sexual harassment, what? The American Psychological Association has said.
So
they released guidelines concerning men and boys. This is such trash.
It is garbage because I would never teach my son or allow my son. In fact, I went out of my way to teach my son that you're respectful to others.
I mean, but that's not it. It's because of competitiveness, aggression, men who don't complain, mm-hmm. when they've got lots of work to do or, mm-hmm. Feeling pain. It's all that type of traditional masculinity can cause sexual harassment. By the way, that's
sexual
garbage.
Harassment by the man?
By the man, yes.
Some, okay.
By the man, yes. Mm. Yes.
They never follow the company code of conduct. In fact, it follows them. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. Drivers, we have a brand new addition to the Red Eye Radio media family. It's called the Extra Mile Podcast, where I sit down with a number of industry leaders and talk about trucking. We start, in fact, with a good friend of mine, Jamie Jones, managing editor of Landline Magazine. She is extremely knowledgeable, about two decades in the trucking industry, and one of the most knowledgeable people in trucking. And I was really happy to sit down with her for our very first podcast. The Extra Mile Podcast is available for your download. If you want to find out more, just go to our website, redeyeradioshow.com. Lots more on the way.
Let us go to Brian in Pittsburgh about the wall. Hi, Brian. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good.
Good. Hey, I just have a couple of points that I'm picking up while you guys are talking, and I'm just sitting here thinking. The Trump presidency to Democrats and his appointments to the Supreme Court, the things that he's pushing through and the things that he's getting done, this is a political lifetime to the Democrats. They can't handle it. They're not going to be able to undo it. With the possible passing eventually of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, however sad that may be, gives him another Supreme Court pick. The Democrats have to do everything in their power to get rid of him, to say no to him on the wall, to not give him a single thing. What he is doing is he's building his platform, but the Democrats, it'll take them a political lifetime to get rid of all of the things that he's done. So they have to try to be firm and say no from the door. They want him gone. They're doing everything in their power to get him to go one way or the other, to try to impeach him, to try to get him to resign, to do things to throw a monkey wrench into his plans. They're trying to do everything they can because this is a political lifetime for them if his things go through.
It's interesting,
especially with his base.
It's interesting, Brian, that you make the parallel with the wall and the Supreme Court, because we talk about the permanent things or the more permanent things in terms of government action. Any law can be reversed by the next Congress, any executive order by the next president. But when you talk about SCOTUS, those decisions, for the most part, with few exceptions, are the ones that are long-lasting. And certainly the seats on the highest court are going to be there for, the next set of justices. Historically, on the average, are going to be there for decades. So then you talk about the wall and it being that permanent thing. And while it will take years to get it done, if it does get done, it will be not just something that is permanent like SCOTUS, but something tangible. Now, we're not going to be down there on the border looking at it every day, but it's something that will be ever present, again, assuming that it does get done. So it's an interesting parallel you make.
You know, not to throw water on this party, but my problem is not with the Democrats because I know where the Democrats stand. My problem is with the Republicans and the administration of not marketing to the American people or selling to the American people what they believe.
Well, that's the frustration because I think the president is capable of building a consensus. I think he's got the skills to do it. There's a lot of uphill battles for him just because of who he is and how much they hate him. But
absolutely.
But
right.
He has done a lot of his own damage and didn't start early enough on this.
Well, my thing is you can't do anything about what happened yesterday. There still is a great opportunity, whatever happens with this shutdown, to be promoting the fact that the Democrats are for open borders. Why aren't we hearing that every day from the president? Why isn't he challenging?
I have no idea.
Why isn't he challenging them? This is, and that's why I've said I believe all along that focusing on the wall and Mexico paying for it was the wrong argument. You're not fighting against Mexico. You're fighting against the Democratic Party who wants to have open borders. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Trump is the type of person and has that personality to push those types of things to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. That's the frustration.
He has that.
Yeah.
That's his thing with a lot of the base. And even myself, we like to see somebody that gets stuff done. We want to see somebody get in there and get it done.
Because,
we don't want it done tomorrow or the next day. We want it done now.
And frankly, I will take his behavior over the whole idea from Neil Cavuto that we heard earlier of being an adult when I know this will happen. Here's the problem. Going forward, and we hate to make predictions, but historically speaking, it's going to be a while before we see a president this aggressive on an agenda, I think.
You may never see a president this aggressive like this ever again.
And coupled with it, and with all the missteps that he's had, that's the frustration that he's not accomplishing all that he could have along the way, that he, I think, individually or specifically, is, as you know, as a person, has the skills to get done. We've been talking about this, especially over the last couple of months, but here in recent days especially, trying to make the point that the frustration lies in the fact that I see this as really the crossroads. Because if we don't get something done on border security, I mean something big done on border security, then it's not going to happen. I don't have confidence it will happen in our lifetime.
Probably not. I'm in my early 40s, and you know I'm just like now getting into the politics part of everything. And you know when you're growing up, you're out, you know, hanging out with your friends or whatever. But now listening to you guys and thinking about the things that you know, these are things that are affecting me and my family now. Where's my money going?
Right.
What
do
I want? Why did I elect him? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And you got to get these things done. I'm the person, like I grew up from my dad. You either do or you don't.
Right.
It's one or the other. There is no in between.
Right.
So, you know, and I know that Trump's not a politician, so to speak, you know what I mean? But he's been in the politics part of it now for a while. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to, you know, to work people and to get things done, and he just needs to be able to get it done. Go out there, push for it. I liked his address on, you know, last night on TV and everything, and I thought he had a good message. I thought the Democrats, I saw their rebuttal afterwards. I didn't think that they were, you know, they came at you like the feeling that I got was I was being yelled at by my parents.
Right.
By my mom and dad were standing there, you know, looking at me. My mom's yelling at me. My dad's standing behind her saying, you know, don't you interrupt your mother is how I was looking at that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where they're not
giving you the I don't know. They're not being honest with you.
Right.
On the ideas. Look, Trump exaggerates and Trump doesn't tell the truth at times, but you know that when he tells you about what he wants in the issues, you know he is being honest. Trump wants border security. Mm-hmm. He's not just saying it. Now, there may be misstatements that he makes. There may be inaccuracies that he makes along the way.
Yeah.
He may say things that, you know, we go, oh, please don't do. You don't need to say that. It's not true. It's not going to happen. You know, you're getting off your message. But when you actually look at what he wants and what he, you know, what he has said he wants overall, he is intellectually honest about what he wants and the direction of what this country should go. If you look at the Democrats held opinions on illegal immigration as recently as 3 years ago, the complete opposite of what they hold today. Well, America,
why do they do that? Why do they say one thing 3 years ago, and then when it comes time to, you know, I'm essentially saying the same thing that they are, being Trump, and they're, you know, they're all hands off. You're like, oh, you know, looking the other way, like, oh, I didn't say that. You know what I mean? Or
right.
Or
Schumer.
Understand the whole
as Schumer. No, I said fence barrier. I didn't say a wall. Furious about it. You can,
right.
And that's why I think, and that was the CBS reporter who got him on that, where you could tell he's getting flustered, which is like, you want the president to do it when the president was there with Nancy Pelosi and Schumer, and he had them both in the front of the cameras, and they didn't want to talk about it. He should have looked at them and said, why don't you want to talk about it? Are you afraid to talk about what you believe about border security in front of the American public? I'm not.
And I think he had that the first time he had them in the Oval Office and invited the cameras in, and they put them on camera and everything, and Nancy Pelosi says, you know, I thought this was going to be a closed-door session. We don't want to talk in front of the cameras while the cameras are here.
And
you know what I mean? What about the transparency? I want to know what you guys are thinking. You know what I mean?
But he should have.
You guys don't want me to know what you're thinking.
Right. The point is, he should have hit him harder on it and then not come out and said, well, I know we're all for border security. He gave him an out when he didn't need to give them an out. And that's what's frustrating, because I know that he can do it. His speech last night, his speech showed that he can, or 2 nights ago, showed that he can do it. He can have the proper tone, the proper seriousness to it. He can articulate the ideas and the facts behind it. We know he can do it, and he can do it like and be blunt and serious on issues that a significant portion of Americans don't want to confront. And there is an absolute clarity to what he said. And I want him to be that way all the time.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
I may be asking for too much, because he is who he is. But when you see where, you know, where he can succeed, where he succeeded on tax cuts, where he succeeded on his Supreme Court picks, and he succeeded and did a great job and a great tone, I thought, overall,
right,
in supporting Kavanaugh all throughout. That when I see what he talked about border security yesterday, and I said, wow, that's really, really good. I want to see that all the time, because you need that if you're going to defeat the Democrats. You need to be consistent like he can be all the time. And so if people think I'm frustrated, or we're frustrated at times, it's not because we disagree. I mean, there are some things I disagree with Trump on, but most things I agree with him on. The biggest frustration is not maximizing, I believe, his potential of what he can do to confront the Democrats and expose the Democrats like no other Republican president in my lifetime, maybe except Reagan, could have done. He has the ability to do it, and he doesn't do it as often as I'd like him to do it.
I wonder if he's learning more along the way of how forceful he can be. You know what I mean? I was expecting, you know, this emergency shutdown and everything that was going on, that he was going to put troops on the border. He was going to, you know, do an emergency declaration to go and start building the wall. That's what I thought he was going to come out and do. Mm-hmm. And you know, after listening to news reports and everything, you know, I kind of got the gist that he was gonna make his case to the American people that he wasn't gonna go that far yet. Do you guys think that he's gonna go that far? Do you think that it's game time and he's not playing around anymore? That he's learned throughout the past 2 years that now this is the way that I have to fight these guys, because this is the only thing that they understand. They're going to understand when I put the Army Corps engineers down there starting to build the wall.
Well, they're already doing surveys, as we mentioned earlier, on the border. The government is doing surveys on, you know, of the land down there. And that's why we mentioned the private sector, the private owners down there already have hired lawyers to fight the eminent domain thing. And we expected that. All the private landowners will fight, with few exceptions. But the president's going to have a play if he opens the government again. And I don't know what that play will be, but it could be.
Do you guys think this is his Super Bowl? This is President Trump's Super Bowl. He's in it to win it.
I think he's the Cowboys down by 14, and he's trying to reset himself of what he did in the first half, And there's a possibility he could win it.
Let's put it this way. Everything is fluid in it. And if he says, okay, look, we're going to open the government, but I'm going to put an executive order out, then the courts start fighting it, and he continues that fight, and all of a sudden Ruth Bader Ginsburg says, I'm stepping down from the Supreme Court, and all of this is long forgotten.
Right.
Things
right,
change, right. And so you don't know, and if he ends up getting a third Supreme Court justice, you probably
that will
have...
rattle the Democrats to their core.
Well, and you might have an energized Republican Party,
right.
And he continues, you know, with the wall, and things are forgotten as you move along about maybe... things that didn't go perfect in his administration, and then people become united again. It's very tough to tell the political landscape what it's going to be a month or two
from
now.
Yeah, because you're trying to predict the behavior of this particular president and also everything else that comes along with all of that in Washington.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Sarah Curley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Coming up, more of your calls and comments here on the wall, the shutdown, and everything else. Also, Iraqi leaders urge the United States to keep a troop presence in their country. My, how things change.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you about one airline that's encouraging you to tip the flight attendant.
And then return them to their upright position.
Well, my thing is, wait a minute, Holt. Then if they give me the responsibility, because I sit in the I get the, you know, because I'm a premium flyer because I fly enough, I always get the exit row seats for free.
Right.
Does that mean I should be tipped, or should I get some compensation for agreeing to open the door in case of an emergency?
No. In essence, after the emergency, we decide how well you perform.
Well, in essence, I'm a doorman.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I should get tipped.
Yes. Are you willing to help out? No, not really.
Then you don't get that seat.
I don't get the extra leg.
You
ever seen anybody moved out of that position?
No, I've never seen anybody refuse.
Yes, and the flight attendants are always very clear. I need you to say it vocally. I need you to. Oh,
you know what the tip is? The extra leg room.
Yeah,
that's what it is. That's the payment.
Your
okay,
tip.
That is the payment. Yeah.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Carling, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning.
Matthew McConaughey just cut my hair during the break. Did you see those photos?
No.
He cut the quarterback's hair, the quarterback at UT. Cut his hair. Guy with the long blonde hair got a haircut from Matthew McConaughey. Are we sure Matthew McConaughey was sober?
From University of Texas? Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen the quarterback.
So. Yeah.
I know the quarterback from Clemson with long hair.
Yeah. I guess that's a trend again. Remember Golden Richards with the Cowboys years ago?
Certainly.
Right. I mean, that wasn't exactly a trend. He was one of the only ones that had long hair back then. But the long hair seems to be a trend.
Yeah, is long hair making a comeback?
It might be. But Matthew McConaughey, thank goodness, is putting a stop to it. I guess that's one way to create a viral moment, right? Have Matthew McConaughey. I wonder if he had bongos while he was doing that.
Speaking of celebrities, do I have to watch that Chantex commercial anymore with Ray Liotta?
You know,
I've been watching some college basketball on ESPN Plus, I think it is.
Okay,
which is online only. You only get it online. You've got to pay like $4.99 a month, but you can just carry it for 1 month, and you can catch five or six games that you want to catch. So there's some college basketball teams. I've been really into college basketball this year. basically because one of the teams I root for is in the top 20, which has never happened before in the history of that team. So the commercials play constantly. Every single commercial break is it called? Is it Chantix?
Chantix.
Okay. The stuff to stop smoking. It's like, okay, enough already. I mean, I've seen the ad. I'm not kidding. I've seen the ad 100 times in the last 2 months. If you're watching, but it's on TV quite often too. I'll tell you this. The commercial's effective because when I watch it, I look at it and go, is he ill?
Why?
He just seems weak. Ray Liotta doesn't seem to have, he just seems like he's old. And I know he's older, but, you know, then
yeah, I don't know how old he is, but yeah, he would.
Yeah, he comes across to me that I've smoked too long, and he doesn't say it, but that's the impression. It's sort of the imagery that I got, almost like they live with, the Democrats, just certain imagery that happens to come out. And that's
right.
when I watch it, I'm like, that's an extremely effective commercial because, you know, you know him from
Goodfellas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Casino, but he wasn't in Casino, was he? No.
Right.
But Goodfellas. And so that goes back to the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
So, of course, he was a lot younger, but just to see him like that, he just seems to be, it's like, okay, for some reason, I'm taking this message that you need to stop smoking seriously because it's coming from him.
And then Dennis Quaid is in a commercial for insurance, I think it is.
Yes.
Right?
I didn't know it was him for like the first 10 seconds.
He looks older.
Everybody's getting older except us.
I know. They need to do what we're doing, apparently. Because we don't ever age. Brecken Hager, by the way, and he's a defensive lineman. He's not quarterback. But he had the long blonde hair at UT. Did have it. And now Matthew McConaughey has it. It'd be weird if he kept it. I'm guessing they donated it. I didn't read the whole stories. Brecken Hager. So there you have it. Ending the trend of long blonde hair at UT. One head at a time.
Was he playing the bongos as he was cutting his hair?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there's a couple of other commercials where I keep seeing celebrities, and I'm thinking to myself, do they, I mean, is it paying? You know, they say Bob Seger, his song Like a Rock, which he didn't really have to re-perform. They just used it. Was making a ton of money from Chevy back in the day when they were using it. And I'm guessing doing those commercials pays fairly well. I have no idea.
So. I would assume so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the reports are that the president went into the meeting yesterday and said, okay, if I open the government within 30 days, will we have some kind of money for a wall? Nope. Well, bye. And that was the meeting.
Right. No sense in wasting any more time.
But Schumer saying that he slammed his hand down, the vice president was there and said that never happened. Hmm. Said the president came in and actually was handing out candy to them.
Right. Like Santa Claus.
Yes. the talks took a sharp turn when Democrats asked the president why he wouldn't reopen the government while continuing to negotiate border security. Mr. Trump then said, well, because you won't give me what I want. Then he turned to Nancy Pelosi and he said, in 30 days, will you be in favor of a wall? She said no. He said, what's the point? And walked out.
Well, there is no more point. There's nothing else to discuss.
Where did I read it? I only read it in one place yesterday. Oh, man, it just popped into my head right now. That said that the Democrats have even taken the $1.3 billion for border security off the table now.
I haven't seen that. But
I didn't see. I only saw it. I just happened to see it yesterday. Maybe I didn't give much credibility to it because I saw it on. It was somebody tweeted it on social. Maybe it was on social media.
Mm-hmm.
That just popped into my head right now because I hadn't seen it elsewhere, so I just didn't think about it until right now.
That would be the House budget. That would be
the House version that they passed, was it not?
The first one, yeah. Well, and the one Nancy passed.
The one Nancy passed. Yeah, right. So that didn't make because that is what is not going through the Senate right now. Now I have seen a few articles that said it's Mitch McConnell keeping this thing from going through because the Democrats and some believe that there are enough votes, enough Republicans that will vote to open the government in the Senate.
Right. And then the other part of it is, you know, what the Senate Majority Leader is saying. You know, his claim is, well, why waste the time? We know the president's not going to sign it.
Right. Well, and I don't, but you may have enough to pass the bill. I don't know if you have enough to get to 60 to move it through.
Right.
That would be my question.
Right. I don't know that he has that. Not sure.
So there's where we are on the wall. In other news, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Iraqi leaders implored Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to maintain a U.S. troop presence in the country, seeking U.S. reassurances after the Trump administration announced plans to withdraw troops from elsewhere in the region.
Well, you know, again, going back to the fall of Mosul, which lasted 33 months, that is was a harsh lesson, I think, for Iraq, but an even harsher lesson, well, maybe just as harsh for the U.S. and our allies, knowing that you can't create that vacuum for ISIS because they will take advantage. Knowing that the Iraqi forces are not fully on their feet, and that's the whole point.
We will need the support of the U.S., said the Iraqi president. Mm-hmm. He told Mr. Pompeo in Baghdad while expressing gratitude for the years-long American presence. ISIS is defeated militarily, but their mission is not accomplished, Mr. Shaleh said, referring to the Islamic State. Iraq claimed victory over the Islamic State more than a year ago, but the remnants of the group have reverted to insurgency. Mr. Pompeo ignored reporters' questions about the U.S. commitment to maintaining a military presence in Iraq. He told reporters his conversations in Baghdad were more focused on the process of government formation in Iraq. Real progress has been made since the election in Iraq, which I think will put this country and the region in a far better place. Mr. Trump said in an address to U.S. troops during the December 26 visit to Iraq that a U.S. withdrawal from there wasn't under consideration for now. More than 5,500 troops in Iraq are there for training, advising, and assisting Iraqi forces. Military planners have said Iraq could be one of the many areas where U.S. Special Operations units are stationed and are deployed into Syria for short-term missions. So, how things change over a period of a decade.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. get out, U.S. get out, U.S. get out, U.S. get out, U.S. please stay.
Well, and you have the change in the dynamics of the of ISIS and the support and backing that they have, of course, from nations in that area, Iran specifically. They've had that for a while, but I think that support is growing, especially if Iran detects a weakness or opening in the near future in Syria. And a possible opening in Iraq. They know we're getting already. We've announced a 50% cut in the troops in Afghanistan. And keep in mind, you've got like a three-way war going there between the Taliban, the U.S., maybe a four-way, the Afghani government, and then ISIS. Now we took out ISIS with that MOAB, but that does not stop their replacement. And it does not stop nations like Iran from backing them, and that's a very clear danger. So if Iran sees that weakness, they're likely, again, helping that caliphate build and ready to pounce in those regions where the vacuum is created.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
We'll be right back.
Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let us go to Steve in North Carolina. Steve, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Oh, thank you, sir. It's not easy to get on your show, so I appreciate it.
Well, thanks.
Bear with my voice because I'm a little slower than y'all are. But you hit on my point a while ago when I think President Bush was wanting to negotiate, and I truly think that he would have took less money if they would have offered it.
Well, actually,
they offered.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure if they would have. Steve,
well, no, they. From what we know, they would not have offered it. And you mean Trump, not Bush?
Right.
He just said Bush by mistake. Mm-hmm. he has. Early on, they threw it by the Democrats of $2.5 billion over 2 years, or and they just rejected it and have said nothing for the wall, nothing. Mm-hmm. There is no compromise that the Democrats want.
It's not about the money.
No, it isn't about the money. It isn't about the compromise. It's no money for a wall.
I mean, he could have asked for $5 million.
Which we talked about this on last night's show. We said, why are they having a meeting?
Yeah, what are they going to do? Anybody expect anything to happen?
And it was exactly what we thought.
Short and sweet.
Walked Bye. In. Okay. If I open the government within 30 days, do I get some money for get some money for a wall? No. Okay. Bye.
Okay.
It was nothing to talk about.
Right. That was the meeting. Can I have money for the wall? No, you can't. Okay. Bye. Yeah. What about now? Nope. Okay. Bye. Have you changed your mind yet? Nope. Okay. Bye. I mean, there is not. So then it's back to where do you go next? And really the only move for the president is going to be, okay, we'll put the government back to work. And then as he's signing the bill, the spending bill to reopen the government for the partial shutdown, then he would announce, I'm going to sign an executive order and we're going to build the wall. Immediately, California. Every federal judge in California, you would have the attorney general likely file in California right. And take it to court and ask for an injunction. That would likely be granted by a federal judge in probably one of them on the, I don't know, it wouldn't be on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals yet, but it would be a federal judge. And then it would work its way up possibly to the Supreme Court. And that's where it would go. Now, that gives the president an off-ramp, as we call it, to move on. But my question is, can he move on to what? If nothing is going to get done in 2 years, right, because he doesn't have any reason to cooperate with the Democrats, nothing's going to get done except for appointees to the bench.
Well, you make a point, because we were talking to a caller last hour and said if Ruth Bader Ginsburg says, okay, I'm no longer going to serve, then that changes the complete dynamics. But if that doesn't happen, let's say, you know, she's back and well again, and so that's not an issue for the next year, then what's the issue?
Right. What are you going to make the issue? Because
right,
you're not going to campaign against the courts. You're not, in 2020, right. He's not running against the courts in terms of border control. Now, he can reposition it to say that, look, we don't want to rely fully on the courts. Congress should get it done. So not only do I want you to reelect me, but I want you to get out and support Republicans so that we can get the Senate, regain the House, and that we can get this wall built. It's a lot weaker and emptier when there's not an actual battle going on, which like there is right now. But that battle can't live for 2 years. Because the president's not going to keep the government closed for 2 years. Regardless of the threat of that, that's not going to happen.
So at that point, when he realizes the Democrats will not negotiate to right. give him what he believes is reasonable, mm-hmm. nothing will be accomplished over the next 2 years.
Right.
I can't see anything moving forward. I don't see infrastructure moving forward.
Nope.
I don't see anything moving forward at all. Because the Democrats, again, they're not even, remember, they're not talking about money for an entire wall.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about money for, I believe it's a little over 200-mile section that they view as vulnerable. And I believe a lot of that is in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. And that's why they're doing the surveying already. It's private property. In all likelihood, because it is private property, you wouldn't see any construction, even if Congress approved it, until after the president's first term.
Right.
I would guess. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe there might be sections on property. There's a possibility within 2 years they could start construction on somebody who says, yep, go ahead, take my property. I'll take the first offer. And so sections might start. But it could take, as we have seen on eminent domain issues, it can take years.
Yep. For Omnitracs, here's your forecast.
For the weekend, there has been talk of some snow for the mid-Atlantic. Not accumulating much, but could be the first significant snowfall of the new year. However, due to the government shutdown, some of the weather forecasting from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has been scaled back. So relying on a forecast 5-7 days out at this point does have some limitations. For today, we will continue to see snow showers for areas of the Great Lakes and eastward from Cleveland, Ohio into Ashtabula, up into Buffalo, and then on into Maine. There's a developing storm system near Texas, which will provide some heavy showers for central and northern Texas throughout the day on Friday. And then just north of that rain, where the cold air meets the warmer air, we could pick up icing for portions of northern Oklahoma, Nebraska, and portions of eastern Colorado. Again, that through the day on Friday. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Provocateurs, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. To you we go on the border security non-negotiations. We go to Kent in Fairfield, New Jersey. Kent, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Yes, how you guys doing? It's great. So I was thinking, President Trump, in order to do this, I think he should make a recommendation to, what is it, Nancy and Chuck. He should suggest that he's willing to compromise in the form of having a group of experts on border security come together and whatever recommendations that they come up with to achieve the objective of border security, that he would submit to their recommendations, and whether that includes a combination of fence, walls, or just or just plain old drones and what have you.
Yeah, he did that,
if he's willing to do that, he needs to do that, though, in public with these two, because if you do something behind closed doors with them, as you see with the just last meeting, they'll come out and say he did something totally different.
But I can't force them to listen to the Border Patrol. And neither can he.
Yeah.
There are no greater experts than the people that are actually out there doing the job every day, and he has demonstrated that, and they have been extremely vocal.
He brought in the director of Homeland Security, and Nancy Pelosi refused to talk to her.
Yep.
I know he should do this in public, though, and say, look,
he did.
If you want to come up with your five experts, I'll come up with our five experts.
There are no,
put them together, but whatever the recommendation is, that's it.
But there's no greater expert. They would find five experts just to counter his Border Patrol. There are no greater experts than the Border Patrol. You're not going to get any better experts.
Well, you know? What you're saying is their experts would be people who want open borders.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I know that's what they'll come up with, but
right. they're
for
not
the public to see.
No, they're not. They're not going to do it. The Democrats are not going to talk about border security in public. They made that clear. They're not going to do it.
I mean, he brought the Border Patrol out with him, and they were behind him when he had the press conference. Well, it was an announcement in the press briefing room, and that's something that they and the union has been very vocal about it.
I'm aware of all that. But I just think if he does it in the public and refocus, say, look, the objective here
again,
is a permanent solution.
You're expecting that the Democrats are going to want to debate in public. They made it clear they don't wish to debate in public.
Right.
They don't wish. They only wish to debate behind closed doors. I've said this, and I believe I'm right. The only solution to this should have been years ago that the Democrats told the American public that the Democrats are for open borders, that they're for open borders and challenge them and make them defend it. Bringing in the experts means who are the experts? The experts are the Border Patrol. The experts are the people who head the Department of Homeland Security. The experts are the people from the DEA. They're not going to. They don't want to hear from them.
It's already done. I mean, you know, you might see more of that in McAllen, Texas. The president's made his case. This has nothing to do with anything else except for the fact that he is the president right now.
Right. And as we said, I believe there should have been a marketing plan all along, as we've stated on the show, with town hall meetings from the very beginning of his presidency. I believe it's too late now.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they, depending on what happens over the next couple of weeks, the Republican Party should have a marketing plan over the next decade to completely educate the American people, do town hall meetings from the borders, be out there, do television advertising on it. It's a huge issue for their base, for the base of Republicans. And believe it or not, I saw a story the other day or a headline that said both parties are playing to their base. I don't believe the Democrats are. The Democrats, the Republicans are playing to their base, which believes in border security. I believe the majority of Democrats, if Trump was not part of the equation, agree. We know they agree with the Republicans on border security because we know that just 3 years ago, the Democrats, before Trump came into the limelight, we know they agreed with the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back and look what Obama, what Schumer, what Biden, what they all said about border security, what they all said about illegal immigration. It cannot continue. I believe that a significant portion, I would say half to a majority of their base, would agree with Trump on border security if Trump wasn't there.
Yes. Well, the polls show it.
And as we have stated, the New York Times article that backed up what we said, a New York Times article
mm-hmm.
that said the Democrats don't want to talk border security.
Nope.
They only want to talk the shutdown. They believe they can't win the argument, as we have said all along. They can't win the argument on border security with the president, so everything has to be focused on the shutdown. And many Democrats in Washington cringed when Nancy Pelosi said the wall is immoral. Said, you can't be saying that a wall is immoral, that border security is immoral. You can't do that. That was an article in the New York Times
mm-hmm.
that we brought you here at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. which is why we have stated all along, this is the Republicans' job to put them into a corner, and you put them into a corner when you have had the opportunity. The president had the opportunity once and didn't do it.
Yep.
And that's when he had them both in public, sitting together, and they kept saying, we don't want to talk about this, we don't want to talk about this. And his response should have been, why not? Why don't you wish to talk border security in front of the American public? I do. Why don't you? What's secret about this? Well, we need to negotiate. You've just said you don't want to negotiate. So tell the American public why you disagree with me.
Right.
Well, a border wall is immoral. Why is it immoral?
Because negotiation means that you're willing to give something up. What are you willing to give up, Nancy? Nothing.
Yeah.
There is no. This is why the president shut it down today.
But you have the Democrats are going to be who they are, and they become the party of open borders, even if a significant portion of their base is not, they are. And you've got to call them out at every opportunity, because if you use the term open borders, they're for open borders.
Mm-hmm.
They're for sanctuary cities. I mean, this is the kind you have to use tough rhetoric, but tough but truthful rhetoric. As we have stated, the president should be out there every single day. This is the party that believes, and every Republican should be out there saying, this is the party that believes, that trying to tell you they believe in border security. Yet they believe in sanctuary cities. They believe that illegal immigrant criminals' freedom is more important than American citizens' safety and security. You call them. You use the tough rhetoric on them. When he had the opportunity to do it, he said, oh, we're all for border security.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them an out. If the president isn't going to do it, nobody else is going to do it. If the president isn't going to lead his party in doing it, nobody is going to do it. I think the president did a great job the other night. You need to do a great job every single day of your term as president of the United States on this issue, if it's one of the major issues that you brought to the table that got you elected as president.
Yep.
That simple. You've got to make the argument. You have to do it. The Democrats aren't going to do it for you.
No.
But we wasted a year with Mexico for some reason. Mexico's going to pay for it. Mexico was not the enemy in here. The enemy, the political enemy is not Mexico. The political enemy in border security is Democrats. And the president chose for a year to focus on Mexico instead of Democrats.
Now you've got to find a way to move on, to get beyond this. Because we're at the stalemate. There's not going to be any more meeting. The president is going to be in McAllen. President's going to be making the case, but at the end of it, you still can't keep the government closed for.
Well, there was a New York Times story that Axios and even Ann Coulter commented on it, where apparently off the record, the president told a couple of TV anchors he really doesn't want to go.
Right.
That's great that that came out,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't that hasn't been denied by the White House
mm-hmm.
as of yet. But right. Axios said we verified it. The anchor said off the record, the president said, I really don't want to go. Oh, great. Great enthusiasm to have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does he believe at this point, though, is the reason, though? Let me give the president the benefit of the doubt. He realizes it's a lost cause. The only thing he can do is he realizes they're not going to compromise. So why go down there? Just say, hey, sorry, open the government. And I can only do this. My only option, has the president made that decision in his mind, that the only decision is to put out the executive order and have this go through the courts, that there's no other political alternative?
There actually isn't. And they've probably known that for a number of days. And they probably, their internals probably showed that him announcing that during the address night before last probably wouldn't work out for him the way that he would want it. In other words, you make the announcement that you're going to do it. Well, you haven't reopened the government. So as you reopen the government at the signing, you announce, I am going to later today sign an executive order, and we're going to build this wall and be done, and then let the media take apart the executive order, let everybody talk about it, let the courts bring it on, and it's over. Now, I don't know what you campaign on between now and 2020, other than let's do more of the same in terms of the economy. Let's do this, because they're going to have to get back to. And, you know, there was word the other day on Monday that there was some progress made with China on trade. We'll see if that actually happens. The trade representatives say that they're moving closer and closer. You get beyond the steel and aluminum tariffs. You get everything else done. And then it's campaign season. You have Kamala Harris announcing, you know, soon. You have a new Justice Department as Rosenstein is stepping down after the confirmation of the new Attorney General. And you move forward with campaigning on everything else. This was his signature move aside from the economy. The economy as a whole and the border. I think those would probably coexist at the top as his signature moves. But those who pick apart the move of, and seeing this as an off-ramp taking the easy way out or whatever it might be, they're going to look at this and say, no, you should have fought. You should have fought harder. But the fact of the matter is, he can't fund it himself. That's never been the case. This is the frustration when we say, 2 years ago, you start here and you get people to call their representatives while you have the Republicans in power. Every day you're on it. I want the wall built. He should have been the one tweeting, not Ann Coulter. Here we are, day 36. Haven't started on the wall. Call your congressman. Day 37. Haven't started on the wall.
Well,
I can't fund this myself.
You know, and that ticked off people like Ann Coulter, a lot of pro-wall people, when he kept stating that we have done tremendous things in building the new wall already.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that's not true.
No.
And so he heard his own case at times also. But like I said, I'm not just going to blame the president because the Republicans haven't argued the case right for the last 15 years,
mm-hmm.
as you and I have stated.
Right.
There seems to be no will on something that the American people is actually behind them on wanting to have border security.
Look, if this were if people were holding Tea Party type rallies right now, Chuck and Nancy might be singing a different tune. But that political will has to be driven by the people.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara. David, Judy, John Moore. We'll get to your calls and comments coming up following the top of the hour. Somebody died who everybody recognizes, but if I tell you his real name, nobody will know who he is.
Hmm.
Carlos Sanchez died at age 83.
Hmm.
He was the former Colombian coffee farmer who became the character of Juan Valdez for the coffee industry of Colombia.
Wow.
Died at age 83, the wide brim hat and all that. And
why didn't they just use his real name? Because was he really a coffee farmer?
He was, yes, but the Juan Valdez character was created by a New York agency back in 1959, and another actor had played it, I believe,
up until
the 1970s, I believe.
Well, they used farmer, though. Real coffee farmer.
Yeah, they used a guy who was a former coffee farmer. Before that, it was a Cuban actor who actually played it.
Hmm.
And the advertising agency created the character of Juan Valdez back in 59.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
And they said he was over the years, because of all the problems with terrorism and the drug cartels and everything else, that he was a positive image for, probably the biggest positive image for Colombia for 4 decades.
Right.
It's like, oh, great point.
Yeah. I mean, when people back then were saying pure Colombian, they actually meant coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Dead at age 83.
Oh.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.